fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Greetings, EastEnders fans. Welcome to this week's Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast, where this week we'll be discussing the episodes that aired between the best day on the planet, the 9th of March, to the 12th of March, 2026. How are you all? Joining me today is Rob in a different location. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Rihanna. Yes, I am in Manchester this week. I've been having a little trip away with a friend.
Lovely.
I've kind of split away from the friend to come and do his podcast because I'm a professional like that. And so we're currently sat in my hotel room. So this is absolutely lovely.
You just on location.
I love Manchester so much.
It's so good. It is
I
so
want
good.
To live here. I really do.
We always used to say it, didn't we? I think the last time I went to Manchester was with you, actually. I've not been in so long.
Was that when we did that quiz that didn't work out, so we ended up falling into a casino at 3 a.m. and having
That's
a chocolate
That's the one, Rob. How long were we at that?
Hours.
We were at that casino until daft o'clock, weren't we?
It was ridiculous o'clock.
That was ridiculous.
I think the sun was rising in the sky when we left that casino.
It was when we got back.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Oh,
absolutely
we need
ridiculous.
To do it again. Anyway.
Happy times yes. Indeed. What else have you got to tell the listeners, Rihanna?
We're not here next week.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not here next week because I'm away. Sorry about that.
Reads away.
Get that
yes.
out there. I didn't know if you were going to mention the fact that I just had the best day on the planet.
That was my next question. How was your birthday?
It was lovely, thank you. What I didn't appreciate is that terrible picture you put up.
It was not a terrible picture. It was not a terrible picture.
Isn't it? Oh,
you were literally, I'm sorry. You can't, like that. That was a picture of you in your gown for when we went to the Super Bowl.
I know, but the angle is not something I'd pick. I remember you making me do the pose.
Making you do the
pose. It's because I were posing, and you know me, Rob. I'm not a poser. Actually, yeah. Do you know what? In fairness, I fully posed that day because
you were
like, come on, and we were like, come on,
yeah.
then. We're vlogging. But
exactly.
Yeah. But what I will say is thank you for the messages, everybody.
Loads of messages.
Oh, well, lovely. Thank you.
Such a celebrity.
And not just happy birthdays, there were a lot of Ree's Always Right as well, so thank you so much
yeah,
for that.
Because you're always on the right-hand side of the screen.
Do you know what? You put that comment, that's it now. You've given Rob a right thing to say. A right thing. Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Can I not change it from my end so that I go on left-hand side? Oh.
Absolutely not. Right, let's get on with talking about this week's EastEnders.
Yes,
Ravi, eh? Ravi is not in a great place at the moment whatsoever.
And we discovered that Ravi isn't just called Ravi. I didn't realise
it
was short for Ravgot, was it?
Ravgot Singh Galati.
Yeah,
like
Ravgot Singh Galati. It is a good name, but I can't believe that I'm only just discovering that he's not just called Ravi.
Ravi, yeah.
Well, that's his nickname, I guess, Ravi, yeah.
It's interesting. We have much to be getting on with. We have Ravgot's full breakdown, to which he is now finally getting some help. But how much help will that actually be? Mark appears to have a whole new kind of story ahead of him with the Lauren stuff. And is there more to come with him and Ravi? I can't help think but that there is. And has Phil really got him out of it? We shall see. And what on earth is going on with Lexi? We shall have to wait and see on that one. So much to discuss in this week's Albert Square After Dark. So let's kick off this week. We're talking about Nigel and Phil and Lexi as well. Now, we thought last week we'd seen the last of Nigel for a little bit, but he was, in fact, in Monday's episode. Dealing with it all quite well, I think. He settled in all right. It's the people that are going to visit him that are struggling more.
Oh, bless him. I feel like we're going to be seeing him quite a lot. They've done a full care home set.
Yeah,
so this
that's
feels
true.
Like, which I'm all right with, actually.
I love it.
Even Elaine was there. What on earth?
That was so random. What Elaine was doing there was trying to get votes, is what Elaine was doing
Honestly,
there.
Honestly, that was
terrible.
So bad. I mean, fair, but she was just like, everyone vote for me. When counselor, you'll have all the films that you could possibly need.
Terrible. Yeah. Something seems to be going on with Lexi, though, doesn't it? So what do you think is happening here? She's skiving school. She finds out, and we find out, that Jay is definitely not returning to the square. He is quite happy with his new missus, and he's got a baby on the way. And he sent Lexi a picture of the ultrasound scan and everything. So he's not coming back. And she's got to sort of adjust to that. So I wonder if it's something to do with that. Everything may be going on with Claire and Nigel. That sort of sifted up some old memories about Lola as well. Nigel's gone into this care home.
Well,
do you think it's just that, or do you think there's something additional going on as well?
I didn't think there was anything additional, to be honest, because when you think about everything that's happened, it's a lot of change and kids are quite routined. She's had, like you've just mentioned, Nigel's just gone into the care home. Callum split up with Ben and now Johnny's moved in. I mean, the fact that Johnny's moved in is quite a big change for her. She's got this new guy in her home that she's never particularly taken to.
No, she didn't like, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's a lot to do with that. But then I do know what you mean, like, or is there something else going on? But I don't know what else. I think you could explain it away with what we've already seen.
Yeah, 100%. But also you could add an additional thing onto it if you wanted to. Because there was just that last shot at the end of the week where she's... Callum's expecting her to go off to school, and it's sort of like, why is all this causing you to skive school? Is my thing. Like, surely you could. I don't know. Maybe it's the skiving school that's making me think that something else is going on as well. The thing is with Lexi, she is a kid, she is a child, but at the same time, she does this weird thing where she'll flip flop between being really mature, like when she was dealing with Nigel. She was absolutely fine with dealing with Nigel when he's all confused. It feels like she deals better with Nigel than anybody else does, because once Nigel starts getting confused, everybody kind of goes really on edge and sort of doesn't really know quite how to handle it. Whereas Lexi is just like, yeah, I'm Claire. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, should we watch this thing together? Yeah, I work here. That's absolutely fine. You know, she just deals with it. So
I wonder if that's because she's more confident, though, that he's not going to lash out at her. Because I think even in Nigel's stay, even though he did get confused and said, you work here.
Yeah.
I feel like even in his, like, in his current condition, he can recognise that she's a child. So perhaps it's that she feels more confident to go forward. I do know what you mean, though. She is a lot more comfortable with it all. But maybe it's just that maturity that she's developed after her mum was so poorly with Lola. And I don't know. I don't know what else it could be. The only thing I could think is she getting bullied at school or something like that.
Yeah, but then how would that be connected to any of that magic? Kids can be cruel, can't they? Kids can be utter little bastards
when they want to be.
Yeah,
but then we've just had Ollie getting bullied, so we're going to be going down that route again.
That's true.
I'm not sure. Louis moved on
to a new victim.
He's hanging outside big school just for Lexi now.
The other thing that's going on with this story, with the Nigel stuff specifically, is Phil, who I think predictably is not dealing well with Nigel in a care home. This is culmination of everything that's been leading up to it and the fact, I think, that Phil feels guilty, doesn't he? He feels like Nigel shouldn't be in a home. I think there's an element of him that feels like he's failed Nigel by him being in the home.
Definitely.
Whereas, you know, anybody else can say, what else were you going to do? You know, there's no other option available to you. But I think Phil wanted just to have Nigel there all the way through. He'd die happily at home surrounded by his loved ones. But actually, guess what? It doesn't always work out like that.
Yeah. And I also just think Phil feels really uncomfortable at the care home as well.
Yeah.
Like, he just doesn't think it's a nice... But like Julie said to him, it's not my favourite place to be, but, you know, he needs us. I think Phil does feel particularly uncomfortable when he goes as well. The only other thing I were wondering, though, I'm going from personal experience, but like when... Because my nan's in a care home, and the thought of going to see her actually... fills me with stress. Like, it reminds me of all the all the caring that I'd already done for her. And then I just feel stressed at the thought of going. It's almost like you've kind of let go of that responsibility in a way that you've been doing for so long. Mm. I don't think that's the avenue they're going down with Phil, but I think it'd be an interesting one to explore because the carer, when he first went, said something. What was the term she used? Carer exhaustion.
Oh, yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Carer fatigue or carer breakdown or something like that. Yeah.
And I wondered if they could explore that actually a bit further. It'd be quite interesting because seeing as though they're doing the care home, they should explore these different things that can happen to the others around them. Yeah. Obviously, Nigel, don't get me wrong, is so important and it's how he is that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that they go and like see how it affects the immediate family and friends as well. So,
yeah. Absolutely, you know, I've said it before, but I think, you know, absolute credit to the second half of this storyline, which has been completely done by Ben Wadey, and he has absolutely nailed how this needed to be done. Yeah. So, like we said last week, I think the bath stuff for some stories in this nature, you know, look at Sylvie, look at that woman who got toasted to death in Corrie, you know. Something like that, that tends to be the end of that section of the storyline, but they haven't done that. They've gone all the way through this. They're talking about care homes. They're talking about the impact that people going into care homes has on the loved ones around them. I think it's just been done so beautifully.
Yeah.
So how does Phil move on? Him and Julie had a conversation at the end of the week. Julie sort of worked out what's going on with Phil at this point, I think. So do you reckon that we'll have Phil going to see Nigel next week, or will he just not be able to do it?
I don't know. It's a hard one. I think, if I'm honest, I think the people around it, I think Phil needs to be a bit more honest about it, which he kind of was a little bit with Julie when he was like, can you stop getting me to go and see Nigel? I stopped trying to tell me to go.
Yeah.
I think people should just let him have a break for a minute if he's not feeling ready to go.
He does deserve a break more than most people.
And I mean, and I get what Julie's saying, like it'll help Nigel, but if Phil right now, for Phil to be feeling like this, I think people need to recognise his feelings as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think it's okay if they go just have a break for a couple of weeks with no pressure on going in to see him. Mm. Maybe Phil needs that transition time, you know, to come down from looking after Nigel. And I mean, it's great that Julie can go. And don't get me wrong, if they were both in that position where Julie were feeling the same as Phil, then it wouldn't be really good for Nigel, but right now Julie's okay with going. He's got all the square going, so maybe just let Phil just have a minute. He might feel a bit more up to it when there's less pressure as well, because that's not nice when there's like that pressure as well, I think, in going. Yeah. And you just need a break.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think let him have his minute, but I don't know, he might go next week. Maybe it's just this week and then he'll start going. I don't know.
He might go, but then he might quite quickly walk out again as well. I thought it was interesting this week, actually, because I feel like we reverted, because the Nigel stuff has sort of been put on the back burner a little bit as far as Phil is concerned. I thought it was interesting that we sort of went a little bit more towards gangster Phil this week, when he was dealing with everything that was going on with Mark. And I didn't mind that, because I think it's always important to remember that Phil is always going to be that character. And even now, it's more the case of, I'll make some calls rather than, I'll get directly involved and I'll get my baseball out from underneath the stairs. You know, he just knows people. He knows who to talk to. And I fully believed, actually, that he was able to get Mark out of the situation that he was in. Mm-hmm. But I think it's interesting that we don't... But we don't lose those layers of Phil. So he sort of remains this way. So we can kind of go this way. We can kind of go that way. As the Nigel storyline kind of comes to a conclusion, then obviously I think we'll have Grant back for this bit as well. Have you seen a few pictures kind of floating around this week? Mm, yes. They look interesting. Mm-hmm. So I'll be intrigued to sort of see how this story ends for Phil. And obviously for Julie as well, which that conversation will be going on until the end of his storyline, Rihanna. So strap in, Phil and Julie.
She might not want to after Phil's not going to see Nigel anyway. So there you go. It might not.
Well,
even
he better hurry. He better hurry up and go next week, then, hadn't he? He better get his ass into gear, as far as I'm concerned. Yes. Yeah. Right, ladies and gents, let's move on to the next story. Moving on now to Elaine and Ian, and this campaign for one of them to become counsellor continues. Mm-hmm. And this week they managed to get the fabulous Oscar involved. I mean, Oscar was brilliant this week. He was brilliant. And that actually,
he's
I'd argue.
Brilliant full stop.
Yeah, I mean, I'd argue maybe even Oscar saved this a little bit this week, I think, actually. Don't you? Because there was a few bits of it where you sort of look at Elaine and Ian and you sort of think, right, I'm ready for the next stage of this feud between the two of you. Like, I get it, you hate each other. So you either need to sort of build up to that. We thought we were getting a bit more of a climax to it when she with the whole Louis thing, didn't we? And that kind of fizzled out, and now they're still hating each other again and doing kind of versus each other for the counselor thing. And even this week, I think, even after the storyline of this week was done, like, it feels like Oscar got fired from both of them and now they're still against each other. So it doesn't feel like necessarily there was too much expansion on this story this week.
I don't really know where they're headed. Is are either of them even going to win it, or is it just going to end that neither of them won it somehow, and then it'll be done? I don't mind it because it's a bit of light-hearted,
Yeah, I don't mind it. It is what it
tomfoolery, is
is.
that the word for it, in between everything else. I don't mind
Skullduggery.
it, yes, but I feel like, yeah, like you say, Oscar maybe saved it a bit. I don't know, though. I don't mind it. Yeah, it needs to progress. Maybe they need to do something a bit bigger than the posters and stuff. Maybe we need some.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
Kind of bigger part of the campaign. I don't know, because obviously they're rolling with it. So yeah,
I
maybe we
mean,
need to see a little bit more.
so first of all, Ian tries to get Oscar involved with the campaigning because he kind of sees how basically Oscar has the gift of the gab, as we knew anyway.
And he's
And so,
young,
and he's
so.
young, and you know, Ian needs young people on his team to look cool and relevant. And I know how that feels.
And for socials, let's be honest.
Well, yeah, he needs somebody to run his socials and his and say this is the button that puts you online and all of this kind of thing. Otherwise, you end up like Kim and get yourself cancelled. Because what happened to Kim, I can see happening to Ian very, very
Oh,
easily.
God, yeah. Or
Very,
Elaine, for
very
that
easily.
matter.
Yeah,
Or
or by
Elaine.
either of them. Yeah. I mean, what could happen is that Oscar could just film the pair of them having an argument, and
I
that's
was just
both of them out of the
thinking that.
competition.
I was literally just thinking that. They both, maybe Elaine chucks a drink, maybe Ian says something to Elaine, and then she chucks a drink over him, and then they're both done.
Yeah,
There
there
you
you
go.
go. There you go.
That's how they both lose.
I mean, who can you see either of them actually winning this? I
No.
can't see Elaine winning it, in all honesty, because I feel like Elaine's got enough going on. It does suit Ian to be counselor,
It
but then
does
at the
suit
same
Ian,
time,
yeah.
failing at being counselor suits Ian 10 times better.
No, I don't know. No, I don't think either of them will. I don't understand how
No.
it'd really progress either of them on the square too much. I guess
No.
Ian could make enemies of everybody and everyone could.
Well, that's not hard for Ian, is it?
Yeah, I just don't think it's needed for Ian's character, though, to be honest, right now. Like, he's got
No.
enough fingers in pies with the businesses.
I predict what's going to happen is that they're both, we're going to get to wherever, with the voting of of this sort of campaign for both of them. Both of them are going to fail absolutely dismally at it. And then the feud between them is either going to be put to bed, literally, or sort of it'll just fizzle out. It does feel like I know they hate each other at the moment, but stranger things have happened when it comes to pairings. A couple of Irish creams, Elaine's anybody's maybe, and Ian is sort of one of these that you could see being somebody that you would sleep with if you were very, 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 very drunk and regretting it the next day, and then their relationship sort of just develops from there. It's like weirder things have happened,
So
right?
what do you think, they'd just have like a one nighter, or do you think they'd end up actually having a relationship?
Could they have a relationship?
No.
I don't know. Long term, I can't. I
I
don't know
can't
though,
see.
Because Elaine needs to move on from Jor. I'm talking like as characters at the moment,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
Ian's,
yeah.
Ian's not with anybody. He's definitely not going to get back with Cindy again. And actually, he's shown no interest in getting back with Cindy again. So that's done. Cindy's got other ideas anyway, because she's got the Mac stuff, which there was a little bit of flirtation between the two of them this week again. God, I ship those two. Elaine and George, I can't, because, you know, George is with Nicola, so that's not going to happen again. So both of them actually do need to kind of go in different directions to where they are at the moment. So I can see them kind of being put together. Whether they work together or not, it's a completely different matter. But what I do appreciate is that they are trying to kind of go at it from a slightly different perspective, in that they have got this kind of comedy feud going on, which sort of then develops into presumably what would be a bit of a sort of pernickety sort of arguing relationship, which could work or might not. It depends on your viewpoint on both characters.
Yeah, I just don't feel it's. Do you know what? I could see Ian going for Elaine, but I couldn't ever see Elaine going for Ian.
Yeah,
I think that's the side that I'd struggle with.
Ian would have to do something quite spectacular in order for Elaine to go, maybe.
Yeah. Or maybe then, I think we've mentioned this before, maybe he'll like kind of let her win or something. But then I feel like Elaine
possibly
might not fit too kindly to that anyway. She potentially could, though.
Or a third person comes into the situation who will end up winning the election.
Yeah.
And the way he wins that is by maybe doing something really bad to Elaine. And I can see maybe Ian sticking up for her or trying to save that situation. And thereby it snowballs from there, maybe.
Yeah, I could see that as well, to be fair. Yeah. Also, if you do put Ian and Elaine together, then you've got Elaine with another one of Cindy's exes. So that's another little dynamic layer to add into it all.
Yeah, true.
We could bond over Cindy and stuff. And...
Yeah, I mean, because you've always got to think long-term with these sort of relationship pairings, do you know what I mean? You sort of think, well, what are the impacts that it will have on not only those two immediate characters, but characters around them? And there is potential for maybe the Cindy things to sort of mess up things up as well.
Just thinking Linda would be like, oh, God, Ian, I'm going to call him stepdad.
Oh, God, can you imagine that? That would be awful. You discover that Ian Beale is now your stepdad. That would be pretty awful. Yeah. Oh, I mean, just again with the Oscar stuff, it was just brilliant. I just love him so much. Like, he just makes comedy like 10 times funnier than sometimes I think he's got any right to be.
He's so effortless, isn't he?
So effortless.
So effortless. There's he's got actually to be amazing. The charisma, the riz.
Yeah. The riz. Yeah, you are. You are so straight. You should be doing these campaigns. You know all these words and stuff, don't you?
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, well, you know.
I'd come to you for an election campaign.
I am available,
anything.
Elaine. I wouldn't do it for Ian. I'd do it for Elaine.
No, do it for Elaine. Yeah, for a few Irish creams, riz all yours. Yeah, I mean, there's got to be, I think, an element that Pierre sort of improvises a little bit. It's got that sort of zing to it, doesn't it? Where you can sort of like the whole thing with him pulling the pencil out from behind Peter's ear and all that kind of thing. It's just got that sort of vibe about it, which I quite like.
I've seen a couple of people online saying things that they're like, I'm sure that were ad-libbed because of like Lauren's reaction. But that's another, do you know what? I know Lauren's kind of love-hate with people, but I really like Lauren, you know? And I like her and Oscar together.
They're perfect,
and I like they're such a good duo as brother and sister.
Yeah.
And like her being like, oh, he had that guy back, didn't he, as well this week?
Yeah.
That was just so...
Who doesn't speak until midday because he says nothing but reciting his own goal. I've not heard that before, but I might give it a go. Just
Why not
talk to anybody, even if it's a podcast record. Even if it's a podcast day, I'll just sit
say
here.
We normally record looking... before.
Yeah, no, I'll just
12.
I'll just sit here looking pretty, and you
all
can
right,
do the thing. I'll just
mine for 30 minutes. Then,
yeah,
bro.
I'll just recite my goals. That could work, couldn't it? That could that could be fine. So yeah, the future of this, I don't know. It is what it is at the moment. I don't mind it. It's a fun little sort of comedy storyline. The fact that Elaine went into a care home to try and get voters is so Elaine. It's ridiculous. And I could see Ian doing something like that as well. So I don't mind this, and I like their relationship, I like their feud, but where will it go from here? Time will tell. Right, before we get on to the big Ravi stuff, let's have a little conversation about the Carlotts being under new management. So, Maximum Motors, let's talk about this. I mean, of all, I would have thought, given Max's...
Lauren's Law, that'd work.
Yeah, that
Lauren's
would have worked
Law.
Better. That would
Sorry,
have worked
just
better.
Came to my head,
yeah, that would have been good. That would have been good.
Yeah, there we go.
However, the term Maximum Motors with a really sort of badly drawn picture of Max running next to it, grinning at you madly. I don't know, but I don't think it would make me want to buy a car.
Absolutely not. I'd actually be a lot... I'd be more inclined to get something from Lauren's Law.
You big fibber. You would see a picture. You'd see a picture of a little cartoon ginger boy and be like, oh, that's where I'm going to get my car. That's where I'm going to go. Don't lie to me.
You're
don't
right.
give me
you
a lie.
You might have a point, actually.
Yeah,
you might have
exactly.
a point.
You'd go there specifically. So, Jay obviously is selling the car lot because he's done with Walford. We ain't ever seen
Honestly.
Jay again. He's never
Honestly,
coming back.
This is... What? Anyway, yeah, we've just got
what else
accept
could they have done,
on.
To be fair, though, with a
yeah,
character
I know
like
what
Jay,
else
you
could
know?
They've done. He's just so frustrating, but obviously I don't know the ins and outs of what's happened
you know,
in real
none
life.
Of, you know, none of us do, but I think in terms of Jay's character, I don't think he was an especially difficult character to write out, in all honesty. And the
At
idea
least they've not
that,
killed him off screen and
no,
like that.
No, and, you know, the idea that Jay, the character, I think, deserved a happy ending in the end, which appears to be what he's got. And I think the idea that he would just leave Walford and then just sell whatever he owned. It kind of just works out quite naturally, I think.
Fresh start for him,
yeah,
and all that.
And the idea that putting Max back in the car lot, I quite like as well. I feel like it's where he belongs.
I just feel so sorry for Lauren, though.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine that? She, obviously, the Oscar gives her the idea, I think. Is it Oscar who gives her the idea of sort of buying the car
lot?
Penny gives her the idea, that's right, yeah. And so she's like, yeah, that is a good idea. I could do that. Think of my future. I could sell used cars. I'm good at it. Is she good at it? Like, I don't know if she is good
She's
at it.
She's been keeping it ticking along.
Yeah, but Jay also wants rid of it. And I think Max did say Jay had kind of mentioned to him, yeah, it's not exactly doing me great business. So I'd rather it would just be out of my hair, to be honest with
you. There is that. But I think, to be fair, though, Lauren's done what she can, given the fact that, you know, Jay just cleared off at last minute.
Yeah, see you later.
Yeah. And you've got more motivation when it's your own, surely. So maybe she'd make it
exactly.
work more.
So she kind of has a conversation with Ian, who sort of pushes us in the direction of, why don't you ask Daddy? Because Daddy's got loads and loads of money, you know, obviously because he's in charge of a drug gang. I had a moment this week where I was sort of like, oh my God, they're about to reveal that, aren't they? When he was on his phone, they were doing separate things with Mark. And I was sort of like, any minute now, Max's phone's going to ring and it's going to reveal him. And I'm going to have to cancel the podcast because I can't deal with Reece smugness. I cannot deal with that.
There were loads of moments this week where
really
I was obviously Max involved.
If you're
or
looking,
is that just because I've put it in your head now?
This
Do you
is the
think
thing,
you would have thought it otherwise?
But then we were having I had people messaging us on social media this week saying, I think, you know, look at this, Ree might be right, me might be right. I've blocked so many people this week.
Maybe you should not be so adamant that I'm wrong, Rob.
I just don't see
say how I'm right.
I just I guess we'll see.
Do you know what? I'm going to be actually fuming if I'm not right now after all
I won't
this.
Be. So, I'll be really,
I know you will
really
be.
Chuffed.
We should
if
put
it's
a
wrong.
Bet on. Should we put a bet on?
We can do. What are we going to bet?
Live on air right now.
Yeah, go on
this?
Then. Go on then.
Tenner. Gonna... Just do a tenner.
Just a tenner. You're not that adamant then, are you? You're not that convinced by your own
theory. Oh, right. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
come on,
all right,
girl.
Then.
Come on, girl.
All right, then £12.50 then.
That'll do. It's a deal. £12.50.
There we go.
There you go. £12.50. So we'll see where that goes. But yes. Lauren ends up going to Max for the money. And I don't know quite what she thought she would. I think Lauren thought that Max was... I think the idea that Lauren had was that Max was going to be trying to make something up to her. So, yeah, sure, I'll buy you the car lot and I will be completely and utterly uninvolved in the rest of it. And that was never going to be the way that Max did things, was it?
To be fair, I think that she just wanted him to kind of loan her the money, maybe come up with some payment plan
and
to actually pay him back.
Yeah. And then when the business starts working out, I'll be able to give you your money back and Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt. Yeah, that's how it was supposed to go in Lauren's head, but Max.
But instead, he didn't give her that opportunity because then she went to Jack. Jack was like, oh, think about it. And she was like, yeah, he's going to do it. And I was like, no, Lauren, that's not
what that means.
Bless her. Then I thought it was very interesting that Oscar told Cindy, and it was Cindy who actually managed to convince Max. And kind of interesting that Cindy was doing that for Lauren, I feel, as well.
I quite like Oscar calling Cindy Cinders. I quite like that.
Cinders,
quite suits her. That quite suits her. I like that,
It's very Oscar, isn't it? Come on.
Bell of the ball, yeah.
And then Cindy knew all of the right buttons to press with Max to make him do it. Why did Cindy want him to? I feel like, do you know what I'm appreciating? Lauren's dynamic with some of the Beals on the square. Like, Lauren and Ian, they're a good duo at the minute. Like, They've got a very close father-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship.
Yes, I love Lauren and Ian's scenes this week. They worked really, really nicely together.
I feel like
yeah.
they've really bonded. You know, when yeah. she stole all that money off at charity, yeah. I think it really yeah. brought them together, didn't
that
it?
That does bring people together, doesn't it, Ray? It does yeah. bring people together. You know there's no better way to make friends.
And then her and Cindy, you know, Cindy, yeah, yeah she were given a drug while she was a pregnant Beale, addict.
Yeah.
Now they're
friends
making
again.
Amends.
You know,
it's nice.
If things are going wrong in your life, steal from a charity and then people will start talking to you again.
Do you know what I mean?
That's the lesson we learn. But no, on a serious note, the Beale Branning sort of dynamic yeah. is brilliant. Like they are in a great space at the moment, those yes. characters. So I'm really looking forward to sort of seeing how they develop. But yeah, Max sort of buys the car lot and Lauren is apparently surprised when she goes into work the next day. She's all excited. She's got a new sign from Peter that says that she's the manager. She's got her suit on. She's looking forward to her first day as like this hop shop businesswoman and walks in basically to find Max swiveling about in his leather chair.
And he'd brought, a dartboard and a basketball net and stuff.
And
come
a bonsai
on,
tree.
She was like, it's meant to be a car lot, not the 1980s.
Yeah, what
like,
are you
ooh,
doing,
diss,
Dad?
Lauren.
Diss. I mean, I feel like if it was anybody but Max, I'd be sort of like, well, yeah, obviously. You can't just take over a whole business all on your own. Like, I know you've been looking after it, but at the same time, there's more to it than just sort of turning up.
That is very
has
true.
Run this before, so you'd be foolish not to ask Max for some sort of advice about it, right?
But this is it. This is what I'm saying. Instead of actually talking to her about it, he has that conversation with Cindy, rings up Jay, buys it, and then doesn't come up with any arrangement or agreement with Lauren about it.
Yeah.
It's very much, well, I bought it, so it's mine now, rather yeah. than what the whole point of it was supposed to be was that Lauren wanted it and she wanted to learn the ins and outs. And like you say, yeah, there are things that she'd need to learn. Maybe Max could have said, look, I'm going to put the money in, but I'd like to teach you about this side and this side first.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're going to reach these targets. I don't know, however he'd want to do it. I think Lauren would have preferred that rather than Max going, well, it's mine now.
Well, Lauren just wanted him as a sleeping partner, effectively, didn't she?
Yeah.
This all kind of what I will say about Max this week is that, yeah, obviously the rest of this year is building up to some massive Max stuff, you know, for the New Year's Day. But actually what I really thought this week.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say, too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
This episode is brought to you by Spreaker, the platform responsible for a rapidly spreading condition known as podcast brain. Symptoms include buying microphones you don't need, explaining RSS feeds to confused relatives, and saying things like, sorry, I can't talk right now, I'm editing audio. If this sounds familiar, you're probably already a podcaster. The good news is Spreaker makes the whole process simple. You record your show, upload it once, and Spreaker distributes it everywhere people listen. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and about a dozen apps your cousin swears are the next big thing. Even better, Spreaker helps you monetize your show with ads, meaning your podcast might someday pay for, well, more microphones. Start your show today at Spreaker.com. Spreaker. Because if you're going to talk to yourself for an hour, you might as well publish it.
It felt like the first time that we've seen Max since he's been back in sort of normal Max mode. Like, none of it had anything to do with anything out of, really. I mean, yeah, the Mark stuff arguably was kind of a section of it. But for the most part, Max's role in this week was sort of fairly standard Max that you could remember from back in the day, where he's just sort of running a business and being Max and just sort of, like, it felt nice to sort of have him au naturel Max, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean, where it's not about, oh, what's going on there, and it was just like, Max is at the car lot. I just, honestly, you know, I've stuck up for Max. Mm. I can't stick up for him after this week. I thought he was horrible to Lauren.
Out of order, wasn't he? It was out of order.
Yeah, there was just no need. You were, like, bossing her around as well and, like almost being on a power trip with it all, and it was just so unnecessary. Like, why are you...
I mean, she had tried to bribe him with Dot's best tea set in order to get the money out of him, so she did need to be taught a lesson in that regard, because, sorry, why weren't you inviting me around for tea just naturally because I'm your dad? You know, let's try that. before you start asking me for thousands and thousands of pounds worth of money. Yeah, a good old tea set, that's bound to drain all the money out of me, isn't it?
Out of interest, do you reckon that it costs maybe £100,000? And what is the money that Mark needs to get together?
Maybe. Yeah, I was like, how much would a car lot business be, for God's sake?
Down south, though, it's London, isn't it?
Yeah, London, everything's 10 times more expensive.
It could easily be that, to be fair, in London.
There is a point where I look at this and sort of think, well, where... I understand what you mean when you say, where is Matt getting his money from? But I don't necessarily think it's related to the drug stuff whatsoever. Because it feels like that would have been revealed by now, if it was, arguably. But why is he friends with Mark at the same time? You know, I get it.
And there was a lot of, so obviously jumping ahead a little bit, he sets Lauren that task to get rid of the car. And he's like, oh, you don't even know what stock you're getting.
You don't even know what a car is, Lauren.
Yeah, can even drive.
Yeah.
And then obviously Mark comes along, and I just felt like their scenes were just parallel. And given my theory that it's Mark's, it were almost like, oh, do they know each other or don't they know each other? They're both acting very cool. And then when Lauren were like, oh, you know, I really want to prove to my dad that I can sell it. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'll go for a test drive then. Yeah, all
well,
right then.
Well, you'd be proud of me, Ray. Well, you'd be very proud
of
me.
Did you spot
it? Of course. Of course.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you. I got
that. That's how obvious the other stuff's been to me.
Yeah, fair. No, I think, and to be fair, I don't think this was meant to be anything other than not obvious, right? Like, there was nobody, surely, that watched that scene of the guy.
I mean, if you did, apologies, because we're not judging
you
if you did.
I'm not judging you at all, because normally I'm like that. But I feel like there can't have been many people who didn't predict that Mark was the one that was behind the car being stolen, right?
Yeah.
Like, surely. If even I can work that out, surely to Christ, everybody else must have done as well.
Well, at first, right, my first thinking there, when he said, oh, there's a dent round the back, I thought, oh, Max just did that last week with Tim. Is it going to be that guy's waiting? And then
I forgot that's what the dent was. No, it's a different car, wasn't it? He wasn't in that car.
It's a different car. It was a different car, but Mark was trying to get Lauren to walk around the back because the guy was waiting there. So Mark had said to her, there's a dent. And she was like, what dent? Went to go and look at it, and then the guy was there.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But I thought he was setting that up so that the guy...
Yeah, I think I see what he was doing.
No, I thought he was going to open the boot and shove Lauren in, and then it was going to be like, it's Max! That's why Mark took her here. He wants to... No, just nicking
popped
it.
Out of the car like somebody, like somebody doing a surprise party at a cake, you mean? Just like pop out of the back of the car.
No, as in the guy that was waiting, who ended up taking the keys,
who was, let's be honest, the least threatening villain I think I've ever seen in my life.
Even Lauren was trying to fight back.
Yeah, it was like, are you having a laugh, mate? And then he had to physically whack her in the face to be able to get the keys. Yeah.
But I thought he was going to push Lauren into the boot or something, like Max did with Tim last week.
Right,
and they were going to drive off, and then that would be Mark saying to Max, like, I've got your daughter. At first, that's what went through my head, because obviously this Max thing is so big on my brain that I'm thinking.
Yeah, this is all encompassing for you at the moment, isn't it? Yeah. Well, we'll have to see who's going to get £12.50 at the end of this. What are you going to spend? What am I going to spend my £12.50 on? I don't know. I think maybe a few drinks.
I'm going to spend my £12.50 on some artwork, right? I'm going to hang it
for £12.50.
For £12.50. Right. I know people, Rob.
Yeah, I bet you do.
It's going to say hashtag Ree's always right. That's what I'm going to spend my £12.50 on.
If that happens, the podcast is over, just so you know. Right, let's move on to the big stuff of the week. This was Ravi and his mental health. And how exactly is Mark going to deal with the consequences? Right, on to Ravi's storyline now. How good were Aaron and Sophie during this story? I thought their performances this week were fantastic, didn't you?
Yeah, very good. Very
really
strong. They're a very strong pairing.
Yeah, really are. They're Priya has always been like quite a classical EastEnders character. Like, she does the facial expression. She looks fantastic on screen. Mm-hmm. The sort of glassy, teary-eyed look that
very
she does.
Very pained this
Yeah,
week.
Really,
yes.
really good. And Aaron was stunning, I thought. Like, you could really see sort of like the cogs turning in his head, but not quite managing to turn.
Definitely. Do you know what? I'm going to say something about all this storyline, right? It's not been my favourite storyline at all. It's frustrating, because actually I think going down a mental health route with Ravi is quite an interesting route to go down.
Because it can happen to anybody, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the fact of what it's come from, and it's actually the fact that really it's a redemption arc because of what's been going on with him. That's the bit that doesn't quite sit right with me. However...
Well, as in like using mental health as a punishment, you mean?
Yeah, as in using mental health to make us... it's trying to make us forgive Ravi for the bad that he did before.
To be fair, they used to do this with Ben quite a lot, didn't
things.
They? Yeah.
Oh, true. And I guess I was going to say, yeah, but with Ben, you know, his dad's filling everything. But I guess argue the same with Ravi, in fairness. But this is the thing, because like we had a bit with Priya, who said, you know, oh, you should have been a man. And like, obviously she just, that was her, you know, losing it, and she shouldn't have said all of that. But that would have been interesting to have explored a bit more. But I feel like this is more to do with, look, we need to forgive him now for all the bad that he's done, because look at him, he's struggling. Rather than it could have just been that he was struggling generally without it having to do with all the bad stuff that he'd previously done.
Yeah.
Even though I know it's supposed to be that's why it's been caused.
Well,
nonetheless, Aaron Tiara is absolutely smashing it.
Yeah, he really, like, really
his
is.
I've always been a Ravi stan. He's one of my favourite characters, do you know? Honestly,
No, absolutely. I can see that. And the thing about Ravi is, I think even from the moment he arrived, he was actually always quite a layered character. Like, there was always clearly something else to him as well. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just your standard bad boy, which arguably is sort of the role that Mark's falling into at the moment, I would
Definitely.
Say, a little bit. You know, I think we need to get a little bit more shading to Mark. Like, maybe by the end of the week we're sort of there, but it's sort of it's very kind of scraps with Mark at the moment in terms of anything else going on with him other than bad boy.
Why has he even been back in London all this time? How long has he even been in London? He's talking about how he's never driven a manual car in America, but somehow managed to get involved with this drug gang in London. So how long's he even been here? Yeah. We need more. We need to know a bit more
like reasoning behind it all. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So obviously this week is the culmination of everything that's been going on with Ravi and Mark for the past few weeks. And Ravi's mental health is just continuing to fall apart. He's not in a great space. And Mark is looking for some sort of solid proof that what he thinks he's worked out, that Ravi is the grass or the rat or the leak, delete is applicable, is right. And so he decides to break into their flat. And I thought that when Priya came in and just gave him absolutely a believable excuse right off the off, I thought Priya played a blinder at that
Didn't
point.
Didn't she? That were a great excuse. And he even
it made
fell
sense.
For it. And he fell for it as well.
Of course he did, because that made sense as well, didn't it? It was sort of Jack owes him a favour. He didn't want that getting out. And that's how he was able. And he likes you. You're a great mate. And that's how he was able to know when this was happening. It's sort of like, I think I'd believe it if I was Mark at that moment. But Ravi and then she goes to Jack and she's trying to get like Ravi pulled out of the operation, because obviously everything that went on with the pharmacy is a liability. You know, it's going to be more difficult for everybody involved in this if Ravi remains involved in the operation, because look at the state of him. He's not in a great space. I don't know what's going on with him, but he's not in a great space. And Ravi doesn't react well to this. And then you sort of begin to realize that actually what he sees this operation as, no matter what the outcome is, his punishment. Like, if he ends up getting beaten up or even killed for this, that's fair justice as far as Ravi is concerned.
Yeah, it's been interesting, hasn't it? Because, you know, when he took Mark to the woods, I did actually wonder, because there were a moment where he said something to Priya and he was like, oh, I love you, bye, or something like that. Mm. And he said that he was gambling. I actually thought he wanted Mark to kill him. I thought
I think he did, because when
He didn't. And then he said, oh, see, we won. And I was like, oh, right. So he wasn't thinking he was going to kill him.
I just think that his thinking was just all over the place at that stage. I think he went to the woods thinking, yeah, Mark's going to kill me, and that's fair play. I think that's justice. Yeah. That's absolutely fine. Even, you know, kind of pushed on by the fact that he was taunting him and sort of taking the piss out of him and saying, well, you're nothing like your dad. You're nothing like any of your family, are you? You're a disgrace, you know? And I think that was supposed to be encouraging Mark into doing it, which is what he ended up doing. But then I think when Mark was pulled away from him and he kind of got away with it, there was another sort of euphoria that came in there where he just sort of felt invincible. So either way, it was about the adrenaline side of things kind of keeping him mentally alive, I think, at that point.
Yeah, fair enough. I'd not considered that. Yeah, because to me, it were almost like a like he would he knew he were going to die and he were all right with it.
Yeah,
But
he was absolutely
then
fine with that. Because he was doing that classic thing that apparently people can do when they're about to end things, which is you can sometimes see a change in them where they will go suddenly quite happy and quite cheerful because they've realised, oh, it's all going to be over soon. So that's absolutely fine. It's like they've had a weight lifted off their shoulders, which I think is what they were going for with Ravi this week with that moment, weren't they?
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. And then when he was happy that it had not happened, I got a bit confused. But then I guess you could say, oh, maybe he realised, actually, I didn't want it to happen when he was like faced with it, even though he still wasn't quite back to himself after it all, was
he? No, well, not at all, because Priya ends up taking him to the doctors because obviously Mark's absolutely kicked the shit out of him by the time they get in the woods. Everybody's there. Vicky's there, Ross is there, Phil's there, and they're sort of trying to end this mad situation. And Priya takes him home and sort of he takes his top off, and there before her are evidence of all his self-harming that he's been doing as well. And then I think she realises quite what a bad place he's in at the moment. So takes him to the doctors, and the doctor, I mean, when she said there's an 8-week waiting list, I was actually surprised it wasn't that long.
Is that short? Yeah, that I short? Know. I thought, oh, 8 weeks isn't that long, really,
I thought,
what a sorry state things are that we were like, oh, 8 weeks isn't that long.
No, and 8 weeks, like, you can cope with that.
I mean, I think it is, obviously, it is still a long time when he's in, is it, I mean, is he in crisis, I would say, with the state that he's been in
100%,
this week, isn't he?
100%,
so the fact that they're still then saying, oh, there's an 8-week wait is
it's still a long time
people,
when you're at that stage,
because he, and I mean, even the GP could have seen it. He wasn't right, like, with the way that he was. And then to be like, well, we'll give you some medication. We'll stick a plaster on it for a bit until we can get you properly seen.
Might make you a bit more balanced for a little while.
Yeah, God knows what will happen in between now and 8 weeks' time. But just take those meds. Oh, yeah, all right. You don't want to go to the Turpin Road Pharmacy. Oh, is there a reason for that, maybe? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. So, bless him, he is not great. I'm glad that he ended up going to the doctor, because I thought they were going to do maybe a couple of weeks of him just avoiding that, you know, missing appointments and all of that kind of thing, which they sometimes do with this. Priya, I think, has shown, I mean, great partner goals here with Priya. I think, like, you know, so I think other characters might have done a runner from Ravi at that point, but I think Priya, it showed this week, I think, how in love with Ravi Priya actually is.
Yes. Definitely, because if I'm honest with you, like, obviously, don't get me wrong, I know that he's going through it, like, mentally, but when you look at it, really, it's kind of all his own doing. So the fact that she's still standing by him, even though she knows, actually, you got yourself into this, she's not doing the whole I told you so at all. She's just trying to get him the help that he needs. She can see how much he's suffering at the minute, can't she?
I think we got a little flash. We haven't had a lot of it in the past couple of weeks, but I think maybe another little flash of the Nugget and Ravi dynamic as well. Sort of Nugget was the one that was standing behind the door, and Nugget was the one that he was ignoring. So I wonder if that's going to sort of rear its head again a little bit. I wonder if they're going to just go the full kind of making this as bad for Ravi as it possibly be, that he will start to sort of stand up again and start to rebuild himself again. And then that's somehow going to come out.
Yeah, I wonder with the fact that he attacked you, that you mean,
Because he did tell Mark, didn't he? He did tell Mark that he did that, so that's not going to come back to bite him on the arse at all, is it?
No, definitely not. There's quite a few people who know now on the square. Yeah, it feels like it needs to come out. I wonder if they're going to explore the whole masculinity thing between him and Nugget, because
I mean, that was a thing with Ravi this week, talking about being a...
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
This episode is brought to you by Spreaker, the platform responsible for a rapidly spreading condition known as podcast brain. Symptoms include buying microphones you don't need, explaining RSS feeds to confused relatives, and saying things like, "Sorry, I can't talk right now, I'm editing audio." If this sounds familiar, you're probably already a podcaster. The good news is Spreaker makes the whole process simple. You record your show, upload it once, and Spreaker distributes it everywhere people listen. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and about a dozen apps your cousin swears are the next big thing. Even better, Spreaker helps you monetize your show with ads, meaning your podcast might someday pay for, well, more microphones. Start your show today at Spreaker.com. Spreaker, because if you're going to talk to yourself for an hour, you might as well publish it.
And all that kind of
exactly.
thing as well, isn't it?
And even Priya said it to him, which I'm a bit surprised at. But at the same time, I kind of get why, like, knowing Priya's character, why she said it in that moment.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Not that I'm condoning it, but obviously, given Priya's character, it made sense that she said it. But it was so 100%. Harsh.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if Nugget had overheard that, though, or something. Then you're adding another layer on. I feel like the kids, though, I don't know, is Nugget more mature than that way of thinking or not? Or do you think he could still be influenced by that kind of
I don't know. It's hard. Yeah, I mean, Nugget is kind of quite susceptible, I think, to that sort of thinking, isn't he? Because we've seen how easily he was swayed by the likes of Nish, and he has tried to sort of... He was annoyed at himself for getting attacked because... You know, he thinks that Ravi would have expected him to fight back or
that's
win
even.
So I think that is quite a hard thing for him to have to deal with. Mm. So the fact that Ravi is going through what appears to be some kind of really quite serious mental breakdown at the moment, that's going to kind of turn things on its head a little bit as well, isn't it? So
yeah.
I remain really interested to sort of see how that dynamic is going to play out. So
agreed.
And also how Priya is going to cope with this, because Priya, I don't think, is actually coping with it that well, because she was supposed to be starting at the car lot this week. And because of all this, she didn't get a job. And even Max Duran. This is what I mean. Even Max Duran was just like, well, that doesn't bode well, does it? So is she going to be staying at the car lot for much longer? Who knows?
Why put it in at all, though? They're obviously going to let her, aren't they?
Yeah.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have mentioned it, I don't think. I actually think that we're missing the key member of the family who's going to get them all together, which is Avani. I think she's going to end up being... Yeah, I think she's going to be a bit like the Lexi of their family because of what happened to her with Joel.
True.
The whole masculinity stuff with Joel. I think maybe she gets wind of it between like Nugget and Ravi. She might be the voice of reason in it all because obviously Priya's got a little bit of that attitude herself.
Yeah.
From what she said this
week.
She's
a mother's daughter. Yeah, 100%.
So I think Avani will be the one who might actually be... A kind of impartial, obviously she's not impartial because it's a family, but because she's not been so involved, she's already the only one who's really asked Priya how she is in it.
Mm.
So, and she's seen the effect. I think she maybe, I do think Avani's a bit more mature than Nugget. So I think maybe she'll be the one who steps in a little bit. You've always got this kid, haven't you? These kids are all so wise.
And girls are always more mature than boys anyway, aren't they? Especially
that
at that age.
True,
But I feel like they've got very different ways. They've got different things to deal with at this stage, haven't they?
Mm.
You know, I think Nugget has got it much more directly because the mental health side of things has been affecting him as well. Whereas Avani can sort of have a bit more of a sort of wider perspective of the whole thing, and also she's kind of got Priya to look after and Priya to sort of bounce off as well. So they're an interesting family, so it's going to be I'm looking forward to sort of seeing how all that develops. Mark meanwhile, Phil manages to get him out of this just by making a few phone calls, but it will cost him $100,000, and so
didn't really get him out of it then, did I? Just
really get him out
with him.
Like, what's better, do you think? I might, because even if he doesn't, if he can't provide this $100,000, which I noticed that Phil didn't bother to lend him. Phil's normally quite good for
Phil
wasn't interested in lending him. Like, I've done my bit, I've made some phone calls, and this is your solution. Off you go, good luck, go get a job. I recommend stealing a car.
Maybe this is when Grant will get involved then. Maybe this is two reasons why Grant's going to come back.
Yes.
Because you would though, wouldn't you? If I were Phil, I'd be like, I'm not being funny. I know he's my nephew. I've not really had that much of a relationship with him over the years.
Yeah.
I'd be ringing Grant and saying, you need to come and sort your kid out, mate. He's got himself in some deep shit, right? And he needs $100,000 and I'm not giving him. I've got enough going on. Maybe that's why Grant comes back. And of course for Nigel.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's going to find it. He can't keep stealing cars from car lot, can he?
No, I mean, like, one car is $20,000. That's not going to cover it. And presumably, if he can't provide this $100,000, the boss is going to kill him anyway, so...
Yeah, what is the deadline for this $100,000, Max?
Exactly. Not that
What's
long,
the deadline,
I would say.
Max.
Yeah, it totally makes sense that he would steal a car from Max to pay Max back. Yeah, that's all perfectly logical.
Yeah, but Max can't say anything if he does suspect it, can he? Because Max can't say
I can't hear you over the sound of my drink being poured from the £12.50 bottle of wine that I was going to buy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Gold star this week, Ray.
Ravi?
Yeah.
Gotta be for me.
Gotta be for Ravi, yeah. Do you know what? Yeah, two Ravis, I think. Yeah. Priya, almost, but I think Ravi's
I was
just
thinking.
I think we'll end up giving it to Priya eventually as well.
Yes.
There'll be other Priya opportunities, but Ravi has just been blowing it out of the park this week. So yeah, fantastic. So two gold stars to Ravi this week. Let us know who your gold stars are going to. And final section of the podcast, as usual, is some comments from you. So because I'm in Manchester and Ree is going away shortly, we recorded a day early this week, so we haven't actually got any comments for Thursday's episode, but we have got your thoughts on the rest of the week. Ree.
We're starting with a comment here from Tracy Barrico talking about the Woods, saying, also happy that Phil showed up. Last year, he lamented that he wasn't needed nor wanted. He's needed by so many now. Sam, Lexi, Nigel, Julian, now Mark. What a difference a year makes.
Yeah, the journey for Phil over the past, even longer than a year, like 2 years or something, has been pretty spectacular, hasn't it? It's really sort of altered Phil's character path. He doesn't feel like a new character. He doesn't feel like it's a completely different person, but you can really, it's one of those storylines that really has had a lasting impact, and long may that remain, because I feel like Phil, a few years back, was becoming a little bit one note. He was becoming a little bit of a caricature even. So now
he was filling his baseball bat, weren't
he? Yeah, and that's what he was for.
We haven't seen that in years.
Exactly, yeah. That's what he was for. You know, we will see the baseball bat again, I'm sure. Yeah. I think, you know, we've got little snips of it this week when he was dealing with the... I mean, it's the fact that, you know, he can ring up, he probably knows exactly who this boss is, and rang this boss up and we're like, all right, it's Phil. And the boss was
all right,
like...
Max. All right, Max. It's me, Phil.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. I feel like he would have known if it was Max on the other end of the phone, don't you? Don't you? £12.50. What am I going to spend that on?
Max's deputy. God. He's right, not the top boss. Are we, in all seriousness, right? Let's hypothetically say that Max isn't involved in any of
this. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's unlikely, of course, but yeah.
Are we going to see this big boss?
Because I hope so.
We've been talking about him for what? About 6 months now, including with Ravi's stuff.
Yeah. I quite want him to be. Do you remember Jack Dalton, who Dennis killed? I want him to have that sort of vibe. It was like this real sort of gangster in an office in London, which I don't think is quite how gangsters work these days, but he was so sort of like smooth and sort of charming, but also incredibly dangerous. And you could just tell that by to look at him. Like he had an office full of gangsters just like protecting him with guns at any moment, but he could also have any of them killed at a heartbeat. He was a brilliant character, which Dennis took him away from us too soon, in my opinion. So something in that vein would be quite good fun. I think I feel like we should meet the big boss at some point.
Do you know what, sorry, my brain's just done something.
Oh,
right,
God.
What if on New Year's Day, right, when Lauren and Oscar get taken hostage, they actually go really willingly, because it's Mark taking him, and Lauren's obviously had this thing with Mark, and he's like, come on, Lauren, Oscar, do your best acting. I'm going to scare your dad. Let's get revenge on him for this, that, and other, and all the other stuff that he's done to him throughout the year. Lauren, all this with a car lot, she's got enough need for wanting revenge on him. Like, he's going to be keep treating her like shit at the car lot and bossing her around. So she'll be like, yeah, go on then, Mark, yeah. Go on, film it. I'll pretend I'm so scared. I've been taken hostage.
It amazes me how far you can riz when you've got an idea of a storyline in your head, Ree. You practically write the entire thing in your head.
Do you know what I mean, though?
Skill.
Yeah, but it's feasible, don't you think?
It's feasible. It's feasible. Perfectly feasible. Perfectly feasible.
Ree's always right. It's going to be right
there. Ree is going to be devoid of £12.50 soon, in my view. Becky L. Pickering has said, enjoying all the Branning stuff right now. Also seeing some negative reactions online to Priya telling Ravi to be a man. Personally, I think her intent was to use his own mindset against him to try and convince him to get professional help. I don't think she actually believes in that stuff. I can see a little column A, a little column B with that. I feel like it is the sort of thing that she would say, because she said it quite instinctively at the time, because it was everything was getting on top of her, everything was piling up, and so she just kind of came out with that. There is an element where actually that might have helped Ravi a little bit, because at that point he was sort of denying there was really anything wrong. And I feel like her saying that to him in such blunt terms sort of maybe brought a few things home at the same time. Yeah, it was a defensive thing to say to somebody in that scenario, but, you know, it did have an impact.
The greater good, to speak.
Yeah, obviously, there is nothing wrong with being in Ravi's position in terms of mental health, or whether you're a man or a woman. And being a man doesn't mean you can't have mental health problems, but...
I feel like Priya's a bit old school, though, and I feel like she might... I feel like as much as she's probably tried to not have those kind of views herself,
yeah,
we don't know much about Priya's background. Maybe she has been brought up around that kind of environment at home, where it was her dad, for example, the man of the house and all of that jazz. Yeah. So as much as she tries to, when it's the heat of the moment, like you're saying, and she's getting worked up, maybe that was her instinct to say something like that.
Yeah.
Then she goes, oh God, I'm trying to get this view out of myself.
But then we've heard Priya say things like woke and all of that kind of thing. So she does sort of fall into this category sometimes.
So I mean, she's a bit old school. Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. So I can see it from both sides. I don't think it was an offensive thing for us to see her saying. I thought it was very in character for her to say. And I feel you shouldn't avoid characters saying things like that, because actually it's not, you need to see all those different perspectives from different people. You need to show characters having a new understanding of something like this, I think, in scenarios and some stories like this. So yeah, it was interesting.
And our final comment is from Virginia Williamson, who says, I can understand Priya being upset. She's carried all of the way. It's hard to be a partner to someone with mental health challenges. It's always tough.
Yeah, it is. And I think that was the other side of things as well, that everything was just getting on top of her. Because it's sort of like, you've discovered all that on your partner's body. What the hell do you do when you've got your kids? And also, bearing in mind, I mean, obviously, you've got the soapy elements of it where, you know, very few people who are in Priya's position with a partner who is going through something severely difficult with their mental health has also got the elements, oh, Andy beat our kid up, who our kid doesn't know about that yet. And the local kind of gangster is sort of on his case as well. Yeah. So she's got all those additional elements to it as well, which make things 10 times harder. So
and then she's got to be the, in inverted commas, strong one to hold it all together.
Exactly.
Maybe Priya's going to end up losing it. Blame her, would you? Everything that she's been dealing with.
I've said it before and I will say it again. If you lived in Walford, all of you would be walking around zombified, and counselling would not help any of you. It would be a terrible place to live.
You know how they go and get, they're like, right, you need help for your mental health.
Yeah.
How does he go and get help, right? If he does need to go and see a therapist, he can't sit down and tell the therapist the truth, can he?
No.
He can't be like, oh, well, I think it all started when I killed my first father-like figure.
Yeah.
Then I killed my actual dad.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that in papers.
Yeah, that was in the papers.
Happened
on New Year's Day. You can't miss it. Yeah. That massive story that went all around the world when Zoe Slater got shot. I was involved in that as well.
Yeah. Oh, and I know the police officer who actually did it.
Yeah.
It was technically like my gun, kind of. It was because of me.
Yeah, patient confidentiality is doing a Herculean amount of heavy lifting there.
Then I beat my son half to death. That was New Year's Day this year. So that was really recent.
Yeah, that was bad.
And then I've been in like a really realistic game of traitors where I've actually been a traitor to this drug gang.
Yeah.
And
that's
now why I'm in this state. Oh, and the Harry and Kojo stuff.
Yeah. But you won't tell anybody there, will you? You know, because patient confidentiality.
Yeah,
and all
exactly.
That.
You can't tell anybody any of this. How does he then get this help?
Well, how do you do that? Yeah.
I don't know. What is he going to tell them? I guess he could tell them the informant bit, because technically the police already know.
That's true.
He could tell them that bit, but he can't mention all the other stuff in between. I don't know. I often wonder it, like when Denise had her breakdown, she couldn't actually tell anyone what it was really about.
We said that at the time. We're like, you're here because you were involved in the murder of a man. That's not something you're going to say in therapy.
You're now covering up with
And you buried him under the local calf. Yeah, I feel like nobody at the hospital got told that bit somehow. Right, so like I say, because we're recording a day early, we didn't have any comments for Thursday's episode. So and we are not here next week, don't forget, ladies and gents.
Sorry.
We will be back the week after next. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on Twitter and Instagram at E20 After Dark. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can listen to us on Apple and wherever you find your podcasts. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can do so by going on buymeacoffee.com/E20After Dark.
Yes, you can indeed. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. Ree, have a nice time away. Bring
Thank
me back
you,
a present
Rochelle.
Wherever you're going. Bring me back
Stick
a prezi.
Stick a rock.
Just like you did last
50.
Time. Definitely not £12.50. You can just spend £12.50 on the stick of rock, to be honest, Ree. I think that will cover all bases. That'll be absolutely fine. And we will see you lovely people the week after next. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
See you then. Goodbye.
Bye.